Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, January 18th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in Genesis chapter 17, Psalm 40, and Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 21. In Genesis chapter 17, we have the covenant of circumcision. And as I was watching the Bible Project video on the second part of Genesis, they reminded me that circumcision is a symbol. People who are circumcised are saying, essentially, that the fruit of their family is a gift from the Lord. They are covenanting with the Lord through this sign of circumcision, and they are reminding themselves that all the fruit of the womb is from God. Chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael may live under your blessing." Then God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year." When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them, as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on the same day, and every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, was circumcised with him. Remember the promise that God has given to Abraham, that he is going to be the father of many nations, that his descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars. And so now circumcision is the sign of this covenant between God and his people. Look at verses 12 and 14 again. Verse 12 says, "For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised." So this is a picture of what it is to be Jewish, that at 8 days, you are circumcised. And then at verse 14, if you're a male, in verse 14, "Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." And this becomes important in Exodus chapter 4 when Moses is on his way back to Egypt to free, I know I'm jumping ahead here, but to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And on the way, the Lord meets Moses and is about to kill him. And we're so confused because God has just called him to do this great task. And Moses' wife, Zipporah, takes a flint knife and she cuts her skin, her son's foreskin, and touches Moses' feet with it. Anyway, this is a picture of circumcision. And when she circumcises her sons, then the Lord relents. So Moses was not following through in this story on circumcision for his sons. And so it's very important to the Lord here that this symbol of covenant be fulfilled. Okay, let's move on now to the book of Psalms. Today we are in Psalm chapter 40. "For the director of music of David, a psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips. As you know, O Lord, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. as I was reading this psalm, I was reminded that on this past Sunday, we heard the testimonies of newly ordained deacons. Look back at verse 9. This is what they did. They proclaimed the righteousness of the Lord in the great assembly. And in verse 10, they did not hide your righteousness, Lord. They spoke of your faithfulness and your salvation. I hope to get all the new deacons on the podcast, and this Friday, Jeff Johnson will share more with us about his faith journey when he is the guest reader, so we'll look forward to that together. Let's turn now to the book of Mark. Today we are reading Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 21. In this section, the titles are Jesus Feeds the 4,000 and The Yeast of the Pharisees and Herod. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance." His disciples answered, "But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Seven," they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into a boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed over to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "Is it because we have no bread?" Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Here in my study Bible, it reminds me about yeast and the symbolism behind yeast. In our passage today in Mark, it says, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." In the study Bible, it makes this note. Yeast in the passage symbolizes evil. Just as only a small amount of yeast is needed to make a batch of bread rise, so the hard-heartedness of the religious and political leaders could permeate and contaminate the entire society and make it rise up against Jesus. We've seen in this passage that Jesus has performed a miracle. He has fed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and only a few fish. And just after this, the Pharisees ask for another sign. It's never enough. They are hard-hearted, and he warns his disciples against becoming hard-hearted. And so I think today we have to ask ourselves, have we become hard-hearted? And if so, let's pray that the Lord would take our hearts and he would change them from hearts of stone to hearts the flesh, that he would give us a new heart that beats according to his word and his spirit. Will you pray with me? Our Father, we thank you that you have created our physical bodies to remind us of our spiritual ones. We pray that our heartbeat would remind us that your spirit lives with us, and it is through your spirit that we have breath and we have life. We are called to walk in step with you. And we pray, Lord, that this world and the voices that we hear around us will not cause us to be hard-hearted. Rather, we will look to Jesus, to the pure one, and that you would conform us to his heart, that you would give us hearts that beat according to the justice that he calls us out to, that our hearts would be changed, that we would see the world through your eyes, Lord, and that our hands and feet will be given over to you. We pray for one another today. Whoever is listening to this podcast, we pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us by your word. Help us to be a people who speak of your righteousness in the assembly. And help us, Lord, to be in covenant relationship with you, perhaps not with the sign of the covenant, but through the sign of baptism, that we are buried in the likeness of Christ in his death, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. As we recall our baptism today, help us to go out into the world alive, aware that you are with us, and that we can be transformed by your Spirit. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.